Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together, because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together, because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Ashley Benefield, a former model and ballerina, finding herself at the center of a high-profile trial after being accused of shooting and killing her husband, Douglas Benefield. Claiming self-defense, Ashley's case sheds light on the complexities of domestic violence and the legal challenges that arise when trying to prove justifiable force. All this weekend on the Hidden Killers podcast, we're examining the case of Ashley Benefield, examining the events leading up to that fateful day in their Lakewood Ranch, Florida home, and the allegations of abuse Ashley made against Douglas. We're taking you to the courtroom for raw audio from the Stand Your Ground hearing of Ashley Benefield all weekend here on the Hidden Killers podcast.
As the court is aware, we established a prima facie case that the force used was justified. The state stipulated to that, and Your Honor signed an order so designating it. At that point, the burden shifts to the state to establish that the force used was not justified. That's what the statute says, and that's what the case law holds. The standard that state has to meet to do that is clear and convincing evidence. So that leads us to what I think is a very appropriate consideration, Judge White, which is, what are the parameters of a motion such as a Stand Your Ground motion? I would suggest to the court that was pretty well defined in the second DCA case of Bowie versus State. I'll give the court the cite at 292 Southern 3rd, 471, and specifically page 483, second DCA case 2020. The court there pretty much stated that the inquiry for the court is to entertain any evidence which establishes that the force that was used was not justified, which means, Judge White, that any other inquiries are irrelevant, specifically motive. You know, motive, a lot of times at a trial, is not required. It's never an essential element, but when it is available, it's a very powerful tool for the state to present to a jury. Abuse allegations, also irrelevant, as is Ms. Benefield's psychological state. Why are they irrelevant? They're still, of course, subject to the rules of evidence, even if the court entertained them, but the question then is, why would they be irrelevant? And it's our position, Judge White, that they're irrelevant simply because they are not material to the Stand Your Ground statute's requirements. As the court knows, the issue is, was Ms. Benefield in a place where she had a right to be? Was she involved in any criminal wrongdoing? And did she have an objectively reasonable fear of great bodily harm or death? So the case law supports exactly that. One of the benefits, Your Honor, of being in the Second Circuit is we have very well-defined case law on Stand Your Ground. And I'll cite to the court two things in particular that should apply across the board to this hearing, respectfully. The first is in Riggins versus State, which is in our brief. It's at 344 Southern 3rd, 625, page 626, also a second DCA case in 2022. Therein, the court held that the trial court, this is a quote, the trial court is to assume all facts as true. Secondly, I would cite to the court, also in our motion, the case of Jefferson versus State, 264 Southern 3rd, 1019, again a second DCA case, 2018. Here's what the Jefferson Court had to say in upholding the Stand Your Ground motion and immunity filed by the defense. Quote, we are mindful that there will be situations where the accused is the only available witness to the events leading to an act that is claimed to be justifiable use of force. This may result in great difficulty for the state to overcome the accused prima facie claim by clear and convincing evidence. But our result here is mandated by the text of section 776.032, subsection 4, Stand Your Ground. In closing, Judge White, I think that the state will be unable to demonstrate in any capacity, much less by clear and convincing evidence, that Ms. Benefield, knowing what she knew on the day of this incident about DB, which is the objective standard, Douglas Benefield, was not justified in using deadly force to prevent great bodily harm to herself or death. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. All right, State.
State calls Tommy Benefield.
Judge, I suppose now we're into our omnibus motion and then we're going to check.
And you're talking about your omnibus motion?
Yes, sir.
Under... Hold on one second. I'm looking through. Do you want to go ahead and put whatever it is on the record related to
yes,
Tommy Benefield?
Number two, yeah.
Number two. All right.
I had lodged an objection to any Benefield family member testifying without personal knowledge of or participation in the events immediately preceding the alleged homicide. I then followed that up with a discussion about testimony by non-expert witnesses who lacked personal knowledge and cited the Florida Evidence Code. And I also... included in the memorandum for Your Honor the following. As the court knows, in a homicide case, the accused has the absolute right to open the door or keep it closed as it relates to character evidence. Only the accused can inject character evidence, after which the state is permitted to rebut it. It is the same thing with a witness's testimony under 90-404, Your Honor. Mr. Benefield is limited. The state can establish that Douglas Benefield had a reputation for peacefulness once it's attacked. The rule is very clear. So it has yet to be attacked. Mr. Benefield can only testify as it relates to the rehabilitation of character by the state for peacefulness to his reputation in the community. Mr. Benefield did not live here in this community. He can only testify to his personal perception of his cousin's reputation for peacefulness, which the Florida Evidence Code does not allow. That's our objection, Your Honor, respectfully.
Thank you very much. State.
And Judge, the state does not intend to elicit testimony about reputation.
Okay. This is a great example of what I was saying when we were talking about the hearing is I heard your objection. I'm going to reserve on it because I don't know what these witnesses are going to say. I don't know quite where we're going. You guys know the case so much better than I do. So for now, I'm going to allow it, and I'll reserve at the end for – so keep making your objections. I'm going to reserve on those, at least this one.
Understood.
Some of them might be a more clear call, but we'll pour it all in the pot and see what we get.
Understood, Your Honor, and I might say I'm quite comfortable with the court proceeding that way. I have no doubt.
Thank you. But let me say this. Having sat on at both tables, you make every single objection as we go that you feel you need to make. But I understand completely you have just a general objection to all of that character evidence, the background. You want to focus on that particular day.
Yes.
Got it. Yes, ma'am. Okay, thank you.
Tommy, thank you.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give in this case to be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do. Ms. Whispers. Okay. Yeah, let's get these five chairs. Stay about 12 inches from the microphone, please.
Yes, sir. Hello, sir.
Morning, Judge.
My name is Judge White. I'm presiding over this hearing. As the deputy said, just make yourself comfortable in that chair. Get about 12 to 15 inches from the microphone. It adjusts up, down, left, right, wherever you're comfortable. If you just speak in a loud, clear voice, it'll pick everything up.
Yes, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Let me just ask, can you see?
I can, Your Honor. It's being blocked a little bit, but we're not getting.
If you need to readjust yourself or reposition, please feel free to do so.
Thank you,
sir. Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry.
Please state your name.
Tommy Douglas Benefield, Jr.
How do you spell your names?
TOMMIEDOUGLASBENEFIELDJR for Junior.
And what was your relationship to the deceased Doug Benefield?
First cousins.
And how close were you?
We were close our entire lives, and I was instrumental in him going into the Navy. When I was in the Navy, both naval officers, both flying off aircraft carriers, both did other work for the government, and then all the way through his business career and his dual career in the government and in private, probably talked weekly to monthly, depending upon the times of our lives.
Okay.
I visited his family multiple times in Charleston.
And let me just ask,
yes, ma'am.
Before he died, where did he live?
Well, he was in an apartment down here at the very end.
But before he moved to Florida, where did he live?
Charleston, South Carolina, 701 Preservation Place.
Okay. And where do you live now?
I split time between Jacksonville, Florida, and Atlanta, Georgia. My wife and I have a spa business in Atlanta, Georgia. And I work 2 weeks a month in Honolulu, Hawaii.
Okay. And what is your job?
I'm a flight instructor for Hawaiian Airlines, teaching pilots in a particular airplane.
So let me ask you a little bit about Doug. At the time that he was murdered, how old was he?
He was just 1 week short of 59. He's born October 5th, 1961.
And how tall was Doug?
5'9", 5'10".
About how much did he weigh?
I'd say 160 to 170.
And you already said before he moved to Florida, he lived in, near Charleston, South Carolina?
In Mount Pleasant, a suburb on the north side of the river.
Okay. And who, at just before he moved down here to Florida, who do you live with in the house?
Just Eva and himself, except for the time that Ashley was living there previously.
So you said Eva. Who's Eva?
Eva is his biological daughter, first daughter, with his longtime wife, Renee.
And how old was Eva at around this time?
15, I believe.
So a teenager.
Yes, ma'am.
When did you first meet Ashley?
I had an overnight. I was flying for Southwest Airlines. Had a change in a schedule. They sent me to Charleston, just me, not the rest of the crew, to take a plane into Charleston. And I texted Doug and said, hey, I'm going to be in Charleston tonight. Let's go to dinner. He texted back, great. April 14th, 2017 was the date.
You seem to remember dates well.
I have a very good memory, ma'am.
Okay. So you remember the exact date was April 14th?
Yes, ma'am. And I keep a diary and a flight log so I know exactly when it was.
Okay. So did you, in fact, meet up with Doug?
Yes. When I got into Charleston, ahead of the hotel, I texted Doug again, and he said, Ashley's not feeling well. Could you take Uber up to Mount Pleasant to the house?
Overruled.
Did you know who Ashley was?
I had never heard of Ashley at that time.
Okay. So he spoke it like you knew who she was?
Yes, ma'am.
Did you take an Uber to their house?
Yes, ma'am.
Once you got to the house, did you meet Doug?
I met Doug and Ashley together.
And Ashley. Okay. Was that the first time you'd ever met the defendant?
Yes, ma'am.
Did you speak with both of them together about their relationship and how they met? I'm assuming you were basically like, who are you?
We spent 4 hours together.
Okay.
We started at the house. I got her short life story, their life story together at that time.
So their life story together at that time, did they say how long they had known each other before they got married?
Yes, ma'am. It was almost a sense of pride for both of them that they had only known each other 13 days.
Okay. And how old was Ashley at the time?
At that time, Doug was 54 and she was 24, I believe.
So a 30-year difference.
Yes, ma'am.
Between them. Did, and I think you already answered this earlier, but did Eva live in the house with the two of them?
Yes, she did.
Okay. Did the defendant ever mention that she had a job?
No, ma'am. It was only past history stuff and what she was doing temporarily in the 2016 time frame.
Was she interested in the ballet?
Yes, ma'am. She was a former ballet dancer, and by this time, they talked about the American National Ballet they had founded in February.
So let me stop you
Yes,
there.
Ma'am.
So was Doug interested in the ballet?
The way a husband is, proud of his wife, supportive. Knew nothing about the ballet except its existence, I think, prior to that.
And prior to this meeting with Ashley and all this, had he ever expressed any interest in the ballet?
No, ma'am.
Okay. So you mentioned February. So they started a ballet in February?
So there's an old ballet that was defunct called the American National Ballet. When Ashley wanted to start a ballet and make this a special ballet, a diverse, non-judgmental, non-stereotyping ballet, Doug found a name and found an old ballet, and that's, I believe, February 27th of 2017 is when they founded it on paper.
So a couple of months before you met.
Continuing relevancy objection. I don't want to keep...
Understood.
So you mentioned that was February of 17. So that was roughly 2 months
before
you met Ashley. And how was the ballet being paid for? Did they discuss that with you?
Doug did. They both did.
Okay. Ashley did as well.
She talked about it.
Yes.
She understood what Doug was having to do to raise money and to put money personally into it. Doug was very, very good in all his businesses about doing the founding paperwork and establishing an LLC. And he had done the same with the ballet. He had built the website. Just typical of Doug to build it all himself from scratch.
And you said he put his money into it.
I know he put his money all the way till he ran out.
And then did he also have other money?
There were investors, including his business partners and other donors, through the process. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So it was actually formed in February of 17, but was there a formal launch of the ballet?
The night I spent with them, they talked about the upcoming events. There was an informal launch in May. There was a formal big donor party that I was a part of, brought all my business partners, a lot of veterans that I work with, to a McKee House event in August, I believe, 12th of 2017. So that's the ballet that I learned when the event was coming out and planned on being there and bringing all my people.
Okay. During this time, 2017, at some point, did Ashley and Doug decide that they were going to have a child or try to have a child?
That wasn't a part of that first meeting night.
Right.
We talked about everything else and caught up on everything that we hadn't known. But it wasn't a part of that night. We ended up leaving the house, going back to my hotel, having dinner together. I'm a master trainer in a medical device that's a pain relief device. It helped her, helped him. And then they headed back home that evening. But there wasn't any talk that evening about having a child.
Was there talk later on, specifically with the defendant, about the child?
Certainly. Vasectomy reversal is a very intrusive surgery for men. And when they made the decision they were going to do that, he and I talked about it at the time, in particular because of my medical device background, that could help him.
Okay. So they decided as a couple that they were going to have this vasectomy reversal to try and have a child?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And did the defendant, in fact, get pregnant that year?
He had the vasectomy reversal, and 3 months later, she got pregnant, I believe, because we talked about it later, that the conception date was July 10th of 2017.
And at some point, shortly after that, did she move away from their home in South Carolina?
Yes, so August 12th is when we had the McKee House event, the big donor event, introducing the other members of the staff of the ballet and everyone involved. Ashley and her mother, Alicia, were there. I was there. And 2 weeks later, I believe on the 26th or 27th, they made the decision together that it would be better for her because of her morning sickness to go live with her mother because Doug traveled for work and was busy, and that was what was presented to me by both of them.
And her mother lived in?
Lakewood Village here in the Sarasota-Bradenton area.
In Florida.
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
And so shortly after that, did Ashley move?
I believe on the 27th of August, because Doug called me both on the way down and the way back.
Did he help her move?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Okay. Did he move with her?
No, ma'am.
He stayed in South Carolina?
Yes, ma'am.
So that was August of 17.
Yes, ma'am.
Did the ballet eventually go under, and when?
So the ballet opening, the actual launch to the public, was September 18th of 2017. That's a landmark date in this case in my history. Because it's the date Ashley and her mother went back in the house and got her stuff, and she filed against him.
Okay, we're not going to talk about all of that.
I'm sorry.
So shortly after this whole time, we're going to skip ahead, did the ballet eventually collapse completely?
Yes, ma'am. I'll answer it more directly. I apologize. So they launched it publicly on September 18th. The biggest performing arts center in Charleston is called the Galliard Center, big performing arts center. And they actually held an opening performance on December 7th of 2017. And the dancers had been paid through December 15th. And by the end of the month, everything was finished.
Okay. So by the end of December 2017...
Everything's done.
It was defunct.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. During the time that you encountered Doug and Ashley together and talking to Doug, how did he act about Ashley?
He was completely in love, completely supportive, starstruck, visibly... physically, you could tell by the way he treated her, took care of her on the opening night that I met her, and then it continued through the entire relationship until I never saw them together after the separation.
Okay. And when was that?
Well, physically... August 27th of 2017, when he drove her down.
So you never saw them together after that, that you can remember?
Well, I'll leave a caveat on that. I spent a weekend down here with Doug, Ashley, her mother, spent one night in the home where Doug was killed or murdered, and... I don't remember that date. It could have been after the separation, probably was, but I just don't remember that date. But that would have been the only time that I saw them together after that August 27th period.
Thank you. I have no other questions. The defense will probably have some questions. Thank you.
Cross?
Thank you, Judge.
Let me just say, I completely understand that based on my evidentiary ruling so far, how do I say this? I know you probably wouldn't have asked a bunch of questions, but certainly for your cross-examination and any proffers of cross, I understand it's going to be broader than what it might have been.
Maybe not.
All right, maybe not. And please, sir, feel free to, you can question from either podium, wherever you feel more comfortable.
Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Benefield. I'm Neil Taylor. I'm appearing on behalf of Ashley Benefield. I regret that I meet you under these circumstances.
I understand, Mr. Taylor. Thank you.
You were a pilot.
Yes, sir. Still am.
And consistent with being a pilot and listening to you and your detailing of events and dates and times, it's pretty stereotypical of the discipline that a pilot generally brings to their profession. Would you agree?
Yes, sir. You want the best people up front that work like I do.
All right. And you've told us that as a first cousin, you were very close with Doug Benefield.
Yes, sir. I was closer with Doug in our adult lives than my own brother, who was still alive at that time.
All right. Doug was not a pilot.
Yes, sir, he was.
Was a commercial pilot?
No, sir, a Navy pilot.
Okay, not a aviator, not like the second seat, but the actual pilot?
So in a multi-crew plane that he flew, the S-3 Viking?
Yes, sir.
He started out as a naval flight officer out of training. And then he became a second in command, which is like the first officer in the airline world, actually at the controls. And that's how he finished his flying career in that airplane. So he flew the plane. He flew in the front of the plane. and not always in that position.
Okay. Now, being as close as you were to him, you were aware, were you not, that he was an accomplished, among other things, martial artist?
I never saw that personally.
Were you aware of it?
I knew that he was a wrestler in high school.
Actually, he was on the judo team in high school, was he not?
Well, he was a state all-star wrestler, which is I'm very aware of, but I was not aware of the martial arts being a part of it.
So as close as you were, he never spoke to you about his accomplishments on the high school judo team?
No, sir, more about the wrestling.
Or his training in the military for martial arts?
He had the same training. The military doesn't train in martial arts.
Did he confide in you the training that he went through once he left the service through the private sector in conjunction with servicemen, both active and
not specifically, because we don't talk about that stuff if we're in really special programs.
Okay. Tell us about the physical condition Doug Benefield was in. He was built pretty well, was he not?
He was in terrible condition the night I met Ashley. He was in pain from his ejection from an airplane in the Navy that led to back surgery that year in 2017. He was not in good condition at that time. He became in good condition after he bought the device that I am a master trainer in, and it brought him back to health. Yep. He was in very good condition when he was regularly going to the CrossFit. I'm sorry, I don't mean CrossFit. Some CrossFit, fitness facility called Iron Tribe, which is a Christian-based workout facility. And I believe the last pictures of him on Facebook are in that gym. He was in very good shape at the end.
You saw the pictures?
Yes, sir, I've seen the pictures.
Okay, and they accurately depict the shape that he was in at the time of his demise?
Yes, sir.
There is more to come in the Ashley Benefield Stand Your Ground hearing. We're bringing it to you all weekend long here on the Hidden Killers podcast. Press subscribe so you don't miss a minute of courtroom coverage. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. Workplace stress is now a leading cause of declining mental health, with 61% of the global workforce feeling it more than ever. You can't escape work, but you can take small steps to care for yourself. A walk, some sun, a favorite song. Therapy is one of those steps. Ongoing support to build resilience for whatever your day throws at you. Balance is tough. Getting help shouldn't be. Visit BetterHelp.com today for 10% off your first month.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.